Okay, in these Gemaras, we're going to start 25b1. We started the Mishnah last time, we got a little bit into the Gemara, but we're in the middle and we didn't learn for a few weeks, so. Okay, Nun Amid Beis. Nun Amid Beis. Okay, Mishnah says like this. Behema Gasa Niknas B'Mesira. Behema Gasa, how do you acquire? Until now we spoke about Avodim and people and women and men and you know all that stuff. No. I'm going back 10 lines. Nun. Nun Amid Beis. Mishnah. No, you don't have the right page. Nun. I'm sorry. Chafe. Because I see here 50. I'm sorry. Chafe Amid Beis. Right, then we skipped, yes. No, Chafe Amid Beis. I'm sorry. Mishnah says like this. Behema Gasa. Niknas be mesira. Be magas we learned. I'm going to go through this quickly. Be magas is like an ox, big animals that you can't pick up. So you acquire by giving over the reins or the hair of the animal. Vadaka, and if it's a small animal like a sheep or a little goat, vagba by picking it up. Divrei Rav Meir v'Rav Eliezer. That's what Rav Meir v'Rav Eliezer hold you. You kind it by picking it up. So you want to be kind of dog. You kind it by picking it up. Behema daka is also acquired, not also, is acquired only with meshicha. Meshicha means you're pulling it. Now that could be either you call the animal and it comes to you, you hit the animal and it goes. Anything that causes the animal to come to you, that is called meshicha. Okay, so that's what the Mishnah says. We're missing somebody.
She was too tired tonight.
Darash Rav Bikim Chunya.
I'm sure he's gonna explain.
No, Mesira is giving over the reins. Here, that's Mesira. Mashiach means you make the animal go four amas.
You don't have to make the animal move?
No, not by Mesira. Mesira means you give over the reins. That's it. You give over the reins, or the hair, the marrow, whatever we call it. You give it over, that's the Kenyan. Mashiach means you make the animal tackle walk, 6 feet. Yeah, four amas. So Rav happened to be in the city called Kimchunya, and he made the following statement. Now Amishnah says, according to all opinions, the Behemagas is acquired with Masira, giving over the reins. Comes along Rav, comes to a city, and says, hey guy, by the way, you know how you acquire a big animal? By pulling it. So Ashkechina Shmuel Tamid Rav. So Shmuel, in that city, a little bit later, met one of the students, and he said, "Me Amar Rav Behemagasin Niknas B'Mashicha." Did Rav say such a statement, like you said in that city, that a big Behema Yekreinu with Mashicha? V'anam B'Mesiratan, our Mishnah says you acquired with giving over the reins. It doesn't say by doing Mashicha. But Rav Nami, not only that, in the different occasions, Rav himself said, you acquire an animal B'Mesira. So Shmuel said to him, "How do Beimi Ahi? Did Rav change his mind?" He said, "No." Hodamer ki haytan. Rav says taka with Meshicha, but he holds like a different Tana, not the Tana of our Mishnah, because the Tanya says in the Braise, the Chachamim say this is an opinion not brought down in a Mishnah, but it's brought down in a Braise that the Chachamim hold zul v'zul niknas b'Meshicha. Big and small animals, you acquire with Mashicha. So when in our Mishnah just says, the last words in the Mishnah, Chachamim Meimrim, Behema Daka Niknas B'Mashicha. Only a little animal is acquired. In the Brais it says, the Chachamim hold big and small animals, you acquire by pulling it. And Rab Shimon has a different opinion, Zu B'Zu B'Hagba. You acquire both animals, big and small, by picking it up. So in other words, the Braise and B'chal, it's a whole different story. Chachamim hold, you acquire big animals and small animals by making it come to you. And Rav Shimon says, by picking it up. So mask, this is where we're up to, by the way, in the Gemara. Okay. So mask of Lord Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef asked a very practical question. Elameyato, pil, le Rav Shimon b'mayik, pil's an elephant. According to Rav Shimon, you have to pick up the animal, big or small. How in the world do you pick up an elephant? Even a baby elephant, I'm sure, would be a problem. So the Gemara says, no, I'll tell you how to do it. Amalei Abaya b'chalipin. You could acquire an elephant with chalipin. What does chalipin mean? You give, like the handkerchief thing, you know, the guy gives him a handkerchief and he gives him the animal. It's called an exchange. One of the kinyonim that works by many different things, not by kedusha, but by many different things, is a kinyon called chalipin. I give you something, so you give me something. I give you a handkerchief, and you give me the object. So that's the way you acquire an elephant.
What's that have to do with lifting?
No, she said, you're right, you can, instead.
Oh, instead.
Instead. Or, nami, another way, b'seches mekeme, you rent the place where the elephants are done. Okay? Now, what does that mean? The din is, and we're going to see this now more in the Gemara, that you can acquire tangible items through acquiring land. When you acquire land, you can automatically acquire the tangible items also, even if they're not even on the land.
If they're not attached to the land?
I'm saying even if they're not on the land. If I want to sell you land and this Gemara, okay, by you acquiring the land, you automatically acquire the Gemara. It's called agav karka, because through the karka. So therefore, he says like this: like having that, you know, how you acquire an elephant. I rent you the place that the elephant is on. Now, rental is a temporary buying. According to Allah, rental is a temporary buying. So if I rent you the place where the elephant is on, so therefore, by renting you the place, you can automatically acquire the elephant. But a regular animal, the Gemara says, according to Rav Shimon, you need to pick it up. The Gemara asks, what do you do when it's impossible to pick up the animal? So you do either chalipin, the exchange, or you rent the place.
Same with Pesach with the goy. Right?
Yeah, yeah, one of the ways you acquire things.
You put your hand on it, no?
Huh?
You put your hand on it.
What does that do?
I heard that you pull it a little bit or you put your hand on it, no?
What did you hear?
When you acquire, you can acquire.
Acquire what?
Animal.
No.
Learning right now.
That's what we're learning now, how to acquire kids. I mean animals.
It doesn't,
what?
Doesn't have to be on the land either.
No.
And the duration of the rental could be 1 minute?
Yeah, it could be for 1 minute.
And even if you
Or there's a different, there's one way of learning. Or else he could acquire it only if it's on the land by acquiring it as a courtyard. If something falls into your backyard, right? It's yours. Why? How do you acquire it? It's your chotzer, your courtyard. Your rishus. So if you rent the courtyard where the animal is on, so then you acquire it that way. Or else the other way that I said. But either way, it could be this way or this way.
If your neighbor's ball falls in your court, your backyard.
That's because he never gave it to you. But something from Hefker falls into your backyard, it's yours. A bird, a wounded bird, flies into your backyard. Yeah? Tefka. It's yours. Okay, but Rav Zeid answers another answer. It's an also cute answer. Maybe Arba Kelim, you bring four vessels, Umanichem Tachas Raglav, and you put them under the elephant's foot. So what happened? The four Kelim as the buyer's domain. You know, like in the circus, the elephants go stand up on those things. Yeah? What's wrong? It's so funny with this. Now, if I want to buy your elephant, I bring four containers, right? The elephant stands up on them. So it's my domain now. So he's in my domain. So right away he says, 1 minute. Shmami no, are you telling me that Caleb Shalekeach Beshus Mecher Konelekeach? That if it's the vessels of the buyer in the domain of the seller, the buyer acquires it? In other words, like this. The concept of acquisition is it changes ownership. Okay? So if it goes from your domain to my domain, it's mine. That's obviously not when I steal it. If you want to give it to me and I want to take it, it goes from your domain to my domain, I acquire it. Now what happens, the Gemara has a whole argument in a different Gemara. I want to buy oil from you. So I bring my vessel. No money, no nothing else is going on, right? I bring my jug, my empty jug, for you to pour oil from your jug into my jug. Now, it's the buyer's vessel, but it's in the seller's domain. I didn't take it out of your house, right? Is that a kinyan or not? So there's a whole argument in the Gemara. One opinion says it is. One opinion says it's not. One opinion says it is a kinyan, because the bottom line is it's in the buyer's domain now. It's in the buyer's keli. The other opinion says, what do you mean it's your keli? But it's in the seller's house. What do you mean?
Pay for it yet.
Again, no. Money doesn't acquire tangible items.
What if they go
to the you acquire it now. You have to pay for it. What? One second. So the Gemara says there's an argument if the kalim of the buyer could acquire something in the seller's domain. Right? Now, if you're telling me that you bring four utensils and the elephant steps up on it, that you acquire it, right? That means Rav Zeira, who says this din, is saying that it does work. That the buyer's utensils in the seller's domain works. Because you're saying, how does he acquire the elephant? I bring four vessels to the seller's house, or barn, or whatever, and the elephant goes stands on it. Right? So
it's not really a keli, though.
It is. It's my keli.
What? Two stools?
Yeah.
The stools?
The stool mine. Listen, if I bring a stool to your house,
yeah.
I'm going to buy a bottle of soda from you. Okay, I bring my stool to your house. You put your soda on my stool. Do I get it or not? That's the argument. Is it the buyer's utensils in the domain of the seller? Does it work or not? But if Rav Zeira says it's a good kinyan, that means it holds. It works. But the question, but there's an argument in the Gemara about that. So Gemara says you're right. Hachav Mayaskinon, it's speaking b'simta. In a simta means off the public domain. Meaning like this. In a public domain, it's for sure not a kinyan. If I want to buy something from you, again, it's standing in a public domain, and I put my keli there, I'm not going to acquire it.
Why not? It should be better.
Because it never went into my rishus. It's still in the public domain.
But
it's still a public domain.
It's better than the guy's rishus.
No. But over there, at least, it's one of the two owners. So it's the givers rather than the takers. It's the seller rather than the buyer. But the Gemara says, in a simta, simta is off the street. Like, you know, where the store, the booths are. Well, whatever. So then, everybody says the kalim of the lokeach work. So speaking, you know how he acquired the elephant? He brought four kalim, not in the seller's house, in a side street, side area, and over there he acquires it.
This is Rabbi
Zeira
when he went to
Eretz Yisrael. Yeah, this is Rabbi
Zeira. Because
on Sunday morning,
Eretz Yisrael, he fasted that he should forget Bavli, and he said only Yerushalmi. How did that?
No, they bring down a lot of things from the Midrash in Eretz Yisrael. Or Inami, another answer is Bechavli Zameiris. He puts a bundle of vine in front of the elephant that's three tefachim high. Now, Hagbah means picking up the object, right? One of the kinyanim is picking it up. How high do you have to pick it up? Three tvachim, right? So what happens if I take a big bundle, let's say three tvachim is, let's say, 9 inches, yeah? 10 inches, okay? I take a bundle of vines that's 12 inches high. And because of me, the animal goes up on it. See, until now, the Gemara was thinking about the kalim was less than three tefachim. So Gemara says that's not picking up. So how do you acquire it? So it's the kalim of the seller and the buyer in the seller's domain. Here the Gemara answers another answer. You know how you acquire an elephant? Hagbah, picking it up. If I pick up something in your house, for sure I'm kind of it. That's for sure. So if I put down a blanket of twigs, which is more than three tvachim high, and the elephant goes on top of it, so then I made the animal go up. I picked up the animal. Just like when I hit the animal and it goes, it's like I made it go. It's like I pulled it. So if I make the animal step up, you have it.
Well, how's that different than standing him on the four kelim?
Because the Gemara thought before that the kelim are not three tvachim high.
And if they are, then...
Yeah, then it would be hagbah, right. But that's what the Gemara thought. The Gemara thought it's a little like 3 inches high. So that wouldn't be a good Kenyan.
But it's not picking up.
It is.
It's not picking up.
The elephant was elevated three tvachim because of you.
You didn't pick it up.
Yeah. No, if he went up because of you, you call an animal and he comes to you. Is that Mashiach? Yeah, that's what the Gemara says. It's Mashiach.
Same as the four stools.
Right. The bottom line is the animal moved because of you. If the animal moves because of you, that's called pulling it. If the animal stood up because of you, that's called standing. Okay, that's the end of this Mishnah. So, the Gemara solved the mystery how you acquire an elephant. According to the Chachamim, by the way, according to the Chachamim, it's not Bahagvah. According to the Chachamim, the Braisa said before that B'Mashicha. Pulling it, making. By the way, that's the halacha.
Huh?
No, according to the Braisa, the Rav holds like it's both are acquired by Mashiach.
Even Daka.
Right.
So how come the Braisa is more powerful than a Mishnah view?
Because Rav maintained that the Chacham's opinion in the Braisa was the correct one.
Only Rav could do that? Or?
Yeah.
Only Rav could do that?
No. I mean, I'm of the Gemara. There are reasons why it was like that.
So you could have acted. And Moira testifies that the Braisa
right.
is correct.
Now, Hagbah is for sure good. Just Lalochim taking. To pick up any animal, you acquire it. You want to buy a cat, a dog. You know, a bird, or any animal that you want to pick up, that's able to be picked up, you can pick it up.
Yeah,
in a grain.
Walk with it.
No.
Is it better? Any better than Shichat?
Obviously, that's when he gives you permission. You know what I mean? I just can't pick up something and say it's mine. So that's
Is that a better way than Mashiach, or just as good?
Hagbah is just as good as Mashiach. It's not better. Because Hagbah shows more of a sign of ownership than the Mashiach does. Okay, next Mishnah. Chav Vav
Mer Aleph. One relevant question.
What?
If you're purchasing any metal kelim that's too heavy, like an elephant, is it still by Mashiach or Hagbah?
Yeah. Anything according to the Chachamim, by Mashiach.
So anything besides Karkos has to be through
Mashiach, Hagbah, or sometimes Mesira.
If the seller agrees, acknowledges that you acquired it,
you still have to do a kinyan.
You haven't acquired it if you don't know
if I say I'm giving something to you and you don't take it, you're not kind it. It's still mine. I could change my mind. Just because I say I'm giving it to you is worthless. As long as you don't pick it up, it doesn't mean anything. You have to make a kinyan. And the Gemara is going through it. This whole Masechta, by the way, is dealing with a lot of all the concepts of kinyonim. It spoke how to acquire women, wives, how to acquire slaves, how to acquire animals, how to acquire all the various things that we're talking about, how do you acquire land, and how do you acquire tangible items, and all that. That's as much as we're discussing now. Okay. Nechasim sheyesh lamachrayis. In English, they define it as real property. Okay? But they're called real property because they always exist. Okay, now, there's also, the Mishnah calls, and this is going to be very important for later on, Nechasim sheyesh la machrayis literally means that there's a responsibility on the land. Which means as follows. if I lend you $1,000, okay, everything you own is leaned halachically as collateral for the property. That's the halacha. Now, what happens though if you have, let's say, movable items, tangible items, and you sell them? I cannot go to the buyer and take it away. If it's land, I can go to the buyer and take away the land because my lien is before the sale. And that's why it's very important to have the correct date on the document of a sale and a loan. Okay? So let's say, Aleph Nissen, I lend you $1,000. Anything you own at Aleph Nissen is collateral for my property. I come for my loan. I come to you, give me the money, I don't have, I can go and take your television set, I could take your couch, I could take your table, I could take whatever I want. I could take the land that you own. What happens if you sold the couch after Aleph Nissen, 10th of Nissen, you sold the couch to somebody? I cannot go to the buyer and collect the couch. And I'll explain why in a second. What happens if you sold land? Remember, my loan was the 1st of Nissen. On the 10th of Nissen, you sold your land to him. I am allowed to go to the buyer if you don't have money to pay. If you have money to pay, I have to first go to you. If you have no money to pay, I'm allowed to go to the buyer and take away the land.
Even though he already paid for it.
Yeah.
What does it have to do with
the deal? He has to go back. Now, the question is, did he buy the land with security or not security? Okay? That means, if I sell you land, this is going through a lot of Gemaras now, but this is practical what we need to know over here. If I sell you land, normally what they would write in the document, that if the land gets taken away from the buyer, he can go back to the seller and collect his money, or another piece of land. Right? Sometimes they would sell it without that achrayus, without that security. That means they tell you clearly, I'm selling you the land, I'm giving you a good deal on it, but if anybody takes away the land from you because of debts I have, tough luck on you. Then there's a machlekes in Bava Metzia. What happens if you didn't put it in? You didn't write yes, you didn't write no. You just didn't put it in. Is it automatically there or not? And the halacha is that it's automatically there. Okay? So now, land as a rule is called nechasim sheyesh v'machrayis, which means land is always there to collect the debt. Why is that? So the Gemara says in Bava Basra like this. When a guy has a debt with a document, people know about it. The Yenta society knows about it. Therefore, when that buyer bought the land, he should have known that there's a lien on the property. And therefore, if he bought it anyway, he messed himself up.
Should have done a title search.
Yeah, basically a title search.
It's public knowledge.
Well, in the time of the Gemara, it was the Yenta society.
Right.
They didn't have the... Well, Bez didn't know. But that's only Milva Bishtar, by the way. That's only if the loan was with Edim. Because Yentas tell you... The Gemara says, Chavacha, Chavacha, Islay. The two Edim, right? Reuven and Shimon. So Reuven told his friends and Shimon told his friends. They told their Yachnis. And all the Yanta societies in the world knew that this loan took place.
But this is a
Chilus,
right?
No, it's Yanta. Title company. The Jewish title company.
Yeah.
If it was Milva Balpeh, If it was, I lent you $1,000, no document, no witnesses, yeah, or there's no document, then I cannot go to the buyer. Because how's the buyer supposed to know? There's a lien on the property. How is he supposed to know? Okay? That is the practical halacha. There's only a machlekes at the end of Bava Basra if min ha-teira both are collectible from the land, meaning oral loan or written loan. Are they both collectible? And the Chacham say one not, one yeah, min ha-teira you cannot collect either, and the Chacham say yeah. But the bottom line is, when it's a milva bishtar, a document with a loan with a document, the lender has the ability to go to the buyer and take away the land.
The lien is automatic?
Automatic. It's a pasuk in Tehillim. Eved loive li'ishmalve. The loive is the slave of the loive, the borrower is a slave of the lender.
Can we go back about the first of
Nisan
rather than...
Oh, 1 minute. So that's Dalach. Now, if I lent you money, Rosh Chodesh Nisan, right? On the 10th of Nisan, you sold your property, right? But I have a lien on the property before the buyer. Correct? What happens, though, if I lent you the money Aleph Nisan, but you sold the field 10 days before the loan? So there's no lien on the property because the loan didn't happen yet, right? So therefore, I can't go to the buyer. Correct? That's why if you predate a loan document, it's not kosher. Post-dating is not a problem, halacha. Predating, because what's going to happen? This buyer, which doesn't have a lien on the property, because the fact is the loan took place, Aleph Nissen, you're going to predate it in Adar, right? So then the guy's going to collect from the buyer, Shalei Kedin. He's going, not according to the Din, because there was no lien on the property. The loan didn't take place until after the sale.
But what if the loan is not matured yet? It matures in two years.
But what do you mean matures? I know what you mean.
The loan is not due, but the owner of the land wants to sell the property. I mean, if they sell ever, then they're...
So the buyer has to know that in 2 years from now, there's a possibility he's going to lose the land. And then he can go back to the seller and get money or another piece of property that he sold after his sale. Right? Because that's the way the liens work.
Doesn't matter.
It's very simple.
Doesn't matter what's the value of the land. Let's say he lends $1,000. The value of the land is $1,000,000.
So he gets 1% of the land.
Force foreclosure. Can force the land.
There's no foreclosure in halacha.
Can you force the land to be sold so you can get your $1,000?
No, Beis Din will give you a part of the field.
Does that apply now? If you go to Beis Din, they rule like that.
I mean. Yes and no. Today we go a lot by the Goyish law.
Of course, they don't own property. They go to their personal property. As you said, everything is lien.
Yeah.
Tangible and non-tangible. Yeah.
Technically, if I lend you $1,000 and I come to you for the money and you have furniture in your house $1,000, technically, don't do it today, but technically, Beis Din will take your furniture and give it to me.
Oh,
the $1,000 worth.
You said metal.
That's from the buyers. I'm saying there's no buyer. I lend him $1,000 and he has furniture in his house. He didn't sell it.
Okay.
That furniture is leaned to me.
Until you get your money.
Until I get my money.
Can't sell it? Yeah. If he does.
The guy could sell it. If he sells it, though, I can't collect from the buyers.
You can.
Cannot. Not tangible items. Okay. Only land.
What's the reason for that? Normally
they learn it from bus, but the bottom line is because land is always there. And therefore, there's always a responsibility from it. So you have to prove it.
Why are we learning the laws of the Malvin right now?
Because that's the din of the Mishnah. The Mishnah is talking about acquiring things. I'm just explaining why land is called Sheyeshla Machrayas. That's all. There's a lien on it. There's a responsibility. I'm just explaining the expression. It's not relevant to the Mishnah. I'm just explaining what the expression of the Mishnah, Nechasim Sheyeshla Machrayas. Land. Real property meaning land. How do you acquire land? That's what the Mishnah is saying now. All I explained was why land is called Sheyeshla Machrayas. That's all I just explained, the terminology of the Mishnah. So Nechasim Sheyeshla Machrayas, land, you can acquire one of three ways. Kesef, Shtar, or Chazaka. Money, document, or an act that shows a sign of ownership. You do something to the property, you do something, make a fence around it, you do something in the property that shows a sign of ownership, this is a way that you can acquire it. So land, you could acquire with money. A bottle of soda, we'd learned, you cannot acquire with money. You have to pick it up or do something with it. Money does not acquire metaltal intangible items. But land is acquired with money or a document. If I write a document, I'm selling you this land, I'm giving you this land, and I give you the document, you acquire the land. Or, chazaka is you do something in the land that shows ownership. And that's all, by the way, when the owner told him, leich chazaku kni, go and do it. I mean, I come to your house and dig a hole, it's not going to mean that I own it. Yet, huh? The seller has to tell him to do it. She'ein la machrayis. What happens on movable property? What? Oh, movable property, not land. A nikna ela b'mashicha is only acquired with mashicha. Now, again, it could be sometimes hagbah is good, mesira is good, even mashicha is good. That's what it means over here. Even mashicha is good. Then it says like this. Nechasim she'en la machrayis, but movable items, tangible items, could be acquired im nechasim she'yesh la machrayis together with land, b'kesef shtar or chazaka. That means, like we mentioned this then before, I can acquire tangible items through acquiring land. That means if I acquire a land with one of the three kinyanim that you acquire land, and I say to you, while I'm acquiring the land, I'm acquiring or giving to you whatever, a bottle of soda, so then you acquire the soda also. Even though you didn't even make a kinyan on the soda. Huh? Because through land, like we learned, that's one of the ways we sell the chametz to the guy. Chametz is metaltalin. Chametz is movable. The guy doesn't come and pick up everybody's chametz. So how does the guy legally acquire the chametz? So one of the ways is we rent him the place. And while we're renting him the place, through the rental of the place that he's acquiring land, then he acquires the chametz also. Okay? So the Mishnah is saying here two dinim. Number one, land is acquired kesef shtar or chazaka. Movable items are not acquired with money shtar or chazaka, only with mishicha or agbo or something like that. And then the Mishnah adds, you can acquire tangible items through acquiring land. Automatically.
Is it any of these three or all three?
Yeah, any one of the three.
And if you're doing it with a shtar, you have to write on the tangible item?
The shtar and tangible item doesn't work.
No, it's going land to shtar.
No, it doesn't have to say it in the shtar.
It doesn't have to.
No, you could do it orally.
It's not automatic that everything that's in there automatically is transferred to the buyer?
No, I'm not talking about things on the land. No, first, that's not true.
No?
If I sell you a house.
Furnished house.
Furnished house. But I'm not selling you the furnishings.
Okay.
Yeah?
You have to say
the deal goes through. Escrow closes. It's your house? Does that automatically make you acquire all the furniture?
Unless you say the furnished house.
No. Unless I say the furnished, yeah.
No,
if I tell you that I'm selling you the house with the furnishings, yeah. But otherwise, you don't automatically get it just because it's land.
But that doesn't have to be in the shtar.
Doesn't have to be in the shtar.
Why is it that orally is...
Because it's a kinyan, that's automatic. If Mashiach has to be written, Hagbah does... Right, but I'm saying that's the Chiddush of the Mishnah. The Mishnah is saying, because of your acquiring the land, even if the metalton is not on the land, It could be somewhere else. Through acquiring land, you acquire metalt. Right. Then there's another din. Now this is another din. It's very interesting. The Mishnah is talking very simple cases, but this includes a lot of categories of things. There's exeris akosuv. You don't swear on land. Ein nishborim ala karka. You don't swear on land. It's not a pasuk. It doesn't say ein nishborim ala karka. The Gemara is out from pasuk. Klal uprato klal. Now the din is a metautelin. You swear. There's a biblical oath sometimes, sometimes a rabbinic oath, but on land you don't swear. Again, exeris akosuv. Meaning like this. To give you a simple example. If I say to you, you owe me $100. I don't have any proof. I say to you, you owe me $100. And you say, I owe you 50. As everybody knows, you learned the Gemara when you were kids. It's called Meida B'Mixas. You admit half. You have a biblical oath. Yes. You have to swear biblically, if not you have to pay. What do you swear? That I only owe you 50. And then you don't have to pay the rest. But you have to swear. What happens if I say, you owe me an acre of land. And you say to me, I only owe you half an acre of land. You don't swear on land. That's the din. There's never a shvua on land. Now, but there's something called Gilgul Shvur. Gilgul Shvur means you roll it over. So what the Mishnah is saying over here is that if you're swearing on monetary law, on tangible things, and I say, you know what, by the way, while you're swearing already, I want you to swear about the other problem we have with the land, the movable items can cause a shvur on the land. That's what the Mishnah says. Zeikikin es anachosim, monetary things cause, subject, the land, lishava land, to even swear on them. Okay? So it's going both ways. Like, you can acquire tangible item by acquiring land, and you can be forced to swear on land through tangible items. This is what the Mishnah is saying.
Even if the tangible item you're purchasing or you have a problem with
it. Doesn't matter. Once you're swearing on it, for if there's a, so you can swear. If there's a shvur that needs to be taken, so then it can force you to swear on land also. Okay, so this Mishnah is saying, you know, we discussed a lot of things just in the terminologies of the Mishnah. But the Mishnah is saying, number one, land is acquired kesef shtar chazaka. Metaltel, intangible items, is acquired by picking it up, or meshicha. Then the Mishnah said, you can acquire movable items by acquiring land. And then the last din of the Mishnah says, once you swear on tangible items, it can force you to swear on land. Okay, that's what the Gemara says. Now the Gemara says, "Bakesiv minola." Now the Gemara is going to explain the Mishnah. The Mishnah said a statement. Land you acquire with kesef shtar chazaka. How do we know? How do you know? So the Gemara says, "Bakesiv minola." We have the same question beginning of Kedushin. But the Gemara says a man who acquires a woman with kesef, the Gemara says kesef minolan. The same question. How do you know from the Torah that you acquire land with money? Amr Chizki, Chizki said, because there's a pasuk that says, Sodeis bakesef yiknu. They will acquire the fields with money. There's a pasuk in Yirmiyah. So the pasuk says clearly, Sodeis bakesef yiknu. Fields will be, it's not in Chumash, but it's in Tanakh. That the Torah says clearly, you can acquire a field with money.
So what did he do until Yirmiyah came along and said this?
No, in other words, that's only the, this is all Halacha Mishmasina, but here we find clearly in the Pasuk that it says you acquire it. How did Avraham Avinu buy Smurz? Huh?
Avraham is a good example, isn't it?
Yeah, but
before,
number one, it was before Matan Torah. Taisus asked the question. If you look at the second Taisus over here in Chavav, it says Amar Krasadis Bakesiv Yiknu. So Taisus asks, Hodol Aisim Krodichsib Bagabi Efren. Efren bought by Tov. There it says he bought money. So he said, Mishum Dama Hanimili Minochri. Because over there he bought it from a goy. And a goy, everything is with money. Not necessarily by a Jew. Here the proof is that even by Jews, it's with money. So Taisus answers that granted you can learn not from Ephraim, but Ephraim's a goy, so maybe only with, from goyim you could buy with money, not from a Jew. So the Gemara quotes the Pasuk in Yirmiyah, the Torah speaks about the Jews to buy the land. So the Gemara says, but maybe Adi'ika Shtar, maybe you may need a Shtar also, because the same Pasuk over there says, V'chosuv Basefer V'chosum, record it in a document and sign it. Because what happened over there, the Jews were going into Golos. Yirmi was in Tamil Chum Beis Rishon. They're going into Golos. So Yirmi was telling the Jews, make sure you buy the land, and make sure you record the deeds, and make sure it's all, that when you come back, you shall not have any problems. Right? So over there, the Pasuk says two things. Sadis Bakesiv Yiknu. And then he said, record it in the deed, in the Shtar. So Gemara says, so maybe you need both. How do you know Kesiv is enough? Over there they did both. So Gemara answers, Iksiv Yiknu Libesof. If it would be say, Yiknu at the end of the Shtar, meaning the Torah says like this, Yiknu with money and write a Shtar. So if it would say, Yiknu acquire it after the Torah mentioned Shtar, you're right. But by money it says Yiknu. So the acquisition is done with money. Then he gave an advice, record it. Because how are you going to prove that you bought it? Hashtadichsiv yiknu mikara. But now that it says yiknu at the beginning as the kinyan. So kesev kani. The money is the kinyan. Shtar raya baal mohu. This document is only a proof. Like today, why do you write a document? I lend you $1,000. Why do you write a document? It's only as a proof. It's not a kinyan. It's not, you know, it's only a proof. Like the Edom died, the Edom go away, the Edom are not here. So how are you going to have a recorded document that... So Yirmiyah told the Jews advice. Number one, buy the field with money. And then he said, you want to record it? I'm giving you an advice. Make a document. Make a deed.
This was the Jews who were leaving Eretz Yisrael to
go to Galus
for 7 years?
Yep. So he told them, when you come back, yeah. The prophet assures the people that the desolate condition of the land of Israel will not endure in permanency. Rather, they will yet come a time when Hashem will return the exiles to the land, and they will again acquire land. So he's telling them what to do, you know, writing a document that, you know, that this is yours. Amar Rav, but Rav said like this, Loishanu, when does the Mishnah say that you can acquire just with money, land. You can acquire just with money. That's b'malkim shein kesin as the shtar. In a place that they don't write up a document. Avo b'malkim shein kesin as the shtar. But in a place where the custom is that they also write a document as the kinyan, leikana, you do not acquire just with money. You need a document also. V'i parish. But what happens if the guy writes clearly, we could do it either with money or document, then, you know, then it's good. Obviously, Polish. Then he wrote it clearly what he did. So Rav says another interesting aspect of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says you can acquire land with money or document or chazaka. Rav says no. If the custom was to write a document also, then you must have money and document. But if you write clearly, money or document, then you don't need both.
Didn't Bedin require people to make a shtar on
Torah? Where?
Bedin.
They make it as a raya, not as a kinyan.
Yeah, but they have to make a shtar to begin with.
He said there were certain places that had a minute that they always wrote a document as a kinyan. So that... generally speaking, one of the fundamental aspects of a kinyan, it depends what the custom of the place is. Like we said, if your custom is, when you make a deal, you have a handshake, then according to halacha, that closes the deal, you can't change your mind. You said, I was told like in Antwerp, the diamond dealers, when they want to sell diamonds and that, what they do over there, I don't know if they still do it, but they used to do it, they said mazel u'bracha. When he said mazel u'bracha, that closed the deal. So that was the Kenyan. What?
There are three ways. Kesef, Shtach, Hazaka. I mean, Kesef is the purpose of the sale.
No. And what do you do in Matana? Same thing. If I'm going to give you a gift, a land, yeah? How do I give over land? So obviously I'm not asking Kesef. Or like we learned, mentioned this a while ago, there's a Taz that writes, Mishpat, that you can acquire the land of $1,000 with $1. In other words, if the money is a Kenyan, it doesn't have to be the value of the land. If it's a pruta, less than a pruta is not money. A pruta is the Kenyan. The rest becomes a loan. The rest becomes a loan. And that's all shallow by Mechirus Chometz, if that works by a Goyanat. The Dalter Rebbe holds it doesn't work very good, so we have Art of Kabbalah. But, so therefore, what happens to Moshe? I want to give you a matana. Somebody wants to give away a piece of land as a gift, right? And I don't have any paper, I don't have any whatever, yeah? So you say, you know what? The property is worth $1 million, give me a dollar. And that's the Kenyan. Once the dollar is given, that Kenyan is valid. It's your legally your property. I can't change my mind. You can't change your mind. Nobody can change their mind.
It's a gift. Why do you even have to give that dollar?
How's he coin it?
Shtar Chazak?
I'm saying, before Shtar Chazak, there's no Shtar Chazak.
Why not?
There's no paper.
You can live on it.
We're talking about now. Because if you're not coin it, what's stopping me from changing my mind? I say to you, I'm giving you this piece of property. 10 minutes later, I get into a fight with you, I say, you know what, forget it. I'm not giving it to you. So if you made a Kenyan, it's too late. If you didn't make a Kenyan, it's not yours, it's mine. So I could change my mind. Call me a mom's a bad guy, call me whatever you want. As they say, don't call me late for dinner. But it's not a Kenyan. If it's no Kenyan, you didn't acquire it. If it's a Kenyan, you acquired it. A guy does a business deal with gold. Yeah? All of a sudden, the price of gold drops. You know, it happens daily. You can have a gold going up $50, down $50, yeah? A guy buys a ton of gold. No, it's a lot of money. Yeah? So, how does it work? If there was a Kenyan, the Kenyan happens, so then the loss or the gain is the buyer's. If there's no Kenyan, the seller has a right to say, 1 minute, deal's off. It's very important, Dinam, to know.
Even if it was a verbal exchange?
Verbal doesn't mean anything. Verbal's not a Kenyan. So call me a bad guy.
No, I know, but that's for Tishma.
Bezdin can't enforce that. Meitzes Sasecha Tishma mean, Torah says you should keep what you say.
Okay.
But Bezdin can't enforce that. Taisit, I'm giving you $1 million. Yeah? And you could take me to Bezin. Bezin will make you give you that $1 million.
If you say I'm going to sell this land to you for $10.
Bezin cannot do anything to me unless if the Kenyan was done.
So what about this thing? This pasuk.
Which pasuk? The Torah is talking to the Jew. You have to.
It's just menschlichkeit. It's not halacha.
If I sold you a house, am I allowed to sell you something on Shabbos?
No, but if you did.
Rabbinically, okay, but you're not allowed to. If I sold you a piece of property on Shabbos, yeah? Then I come to you and say, hey, come on, hey. Shabbos, you're not allowed to do kinyonim. What's the din?
It's yours.
Sale's a sale.
Yeah.
You're not allowed to desecrate Shabbos. So if I desecrate a Shabbos, we'll have to do it money. Money is money, and religion is religion. It's two different things. I mean, no, really. So I'm not religious, but the deal is the deal.
What does that have to do with this?
So I'm saying it's important to know when a Kenyan is, because based on the Kenyan, that's you know who owns it. If the person has it, it doesn't have it.
Kenyan could be a written
thank you.
A purchase of a contract?
Kenyan could be oral also. Kembek out of an oral, unless you deny that the oral took place. But I'm saying, if it's an oral that's no kinyan, so there was no kinyan in it.
One second. Let me just clarify this. If a guy on Shabbos sells you something orally, it's a sale? It's not a sale.
It's not a sale because no kinyan was done.
Right.
But what happens if I sold you the Gemara on Shabbos,
yeah,
and you picked it up? Whose Gemara is it?
It's mine.
Was it written or oral?
No, oral.
But it's yours.
Okay. Does it?
Now, what happens if I say it's not true and you stole it from me?
It's a tough luck.
No, then you have to prove it.
Right.
You have to prove that you acquired it.
How do you prove it? Well, you swear by it.
No, you can't swear.
You can't swear by it?
No. Swearing is not going to do anything.
Why?
Because swearing only gets you out of pain. Swearing does not make you take.
So how do you prove
if it? If I say, you owe me $1,000. There's no document, nothing, right? I say, you owe me $1,000. Come to Beis Din. I say, hey, Beis Din, this guy owes me $1,000. He said, no, I don't. I said to Beis Din, you know, I'll swear that he owes him $1,000. Beis Din said, you can't swear.
But he could swear that he doesn't.
Beis Din will make him swear that he doesn't. But I can't, you don't.
That's very logical.
The Gemara says, Kala nishboim, nishboim vepeitrin. You don't nishboim, but rarely. Rarely. The only time you swear and take is if the guy who's supposed to swear can't swear because he's a liar and a thief and Beis Din doesn't let him swear. So then what do? In that case, then the other guy swears and takes.
What if
he's also...
You got a problem.
Welcome to welcome to the Jewish thing.
You always have an interesting
version.
Well, if both don't swear, no, the din is like this. There's a Gemara, the Mishnah, or Gemara, what is it? If both can't swear, then the guy that was supposed to swear has to pay. In other words...
And who's at fault to again? The seller or the buyer?
I'll give you an example and we'll finish with this.
Who's the swear? The seller or the buyer?
Usually... Well, there's no... I'm saying in a case, the one that owes.
The
one that owes.
In other words, the guy who got the Gemara.
There's a story in the Gemara. It's called Nascha Drabab. It's a famous story in Bava Basra. There's a dinner at the Torah. If I say you owe me $1,000, okay? And I bring two witnesses... You have to pay. Correct? What happens if I only bring eight echad? I only have one witness. One witness cannot extract money, but he can make you swear. Okay? That's the din. So if I say you owe me $1,000, you say no I don't, and I have one kosher witness that testifies that you do, you have to swear that you don't, and then you're off the hook. Okay? What happens if you can't swear?
Then this guy can swear.
For instance, you say, I don't know.
You owe money, but not that much.
I don't know. No, that's made his admitting half. I tell you, you owe me $1,000. And you say, you know what? I don't know. I don't remember. And I bring one witness that you owe me $1,000. Now, you have to swear against what the witness tells you.
You can't.
Here you can't. You can't swear you don't owe. Because you don't know. Or there's another classic, a beautiful case in the Gemara. There was a nascha, is a becher, a silver becher, a piece of silver, it's called nascha. You came into my house and took from me a piece of gold, silver. Yeah? I come to Beis Din and say, you stole from me this nascha, this silver thing. You say, yes, but it's mine. You took it. You said, I know I took it from your house, but it's mine. It's not mine. It's yours, right? And I have one witness that says you took it.
But he already admitted it.
Now, what would you have to swear according to Torah? That you didn't take it. What did the witness say? The witness said you took it.
But he admitted it.
Right. So what would you have to swear?
It's his.
you'd have to swear that you didn't take it. You have to swear the opposite of what the witness tells you.
And you can't do that.
Right? I have a witness, you took it. Correct? What do you have to swear? I didn't take it. You can't swear you didn't take it because you said you took it. So you can't swear. So the famous Gemara of Rab Abba is Miteich Sheina Yochel Lishava Mishalim. Where you can't swear, you have to pay.
And since he's a
you have to pay?
Yep, you have to give it back.